From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, August 25th, 2026. The Canadian government says it will impose a 25% counter-tariff on Maine lobster. The announcement comes in response to the Trump administration's decision to impose a 50% tariff on more than $20 billion worth of Canadian goods. Most lobster landed in the fall gets shipped to Canada for processing, and Cape Elizabeth lobsterman Kurt Brown says the tariffs would negatively affect pricing at a time when fishermen are already working on razor-thin margins.
Men and women up and down the coast are being impacted by higher fuel prices, higher bait prices. So if we were to lose access to one of our major markets and prices were to drop, it would get to a point where it wouldn't be worth it to go out on the water and catch lobster pretty quickly, unfortunately.
The 25% Canadian tariffs on lobster and other goods are scheduled to go into effect September 8th. Maine utility regulators have selected two companies to develop one of New England's biggest land-based wind farms in Aroostook County. As Peter McGuire reports, the project is supported by states across the region interested in securing more renewable power.
The Maine Public Utilities Commission has chosen Clearway Energy to build an 800-megawatt wind farm in northern Maine, and Central Power parent company Avangrid to develop the high-voltage power line to connect those turbines to the regional grid. PUC Commissioner Patrick Scully says cooperation and cost-sharing between New England states made the project possible.
I've not seen anything like this in the United States, and I think this effort deserves national attention and provides a model for other regions to work collaboratively to meet common energy, climate, and reliability goals.
State lawmakers ordered the commission to undertake the project 5 years ago to meet clean energy goals and to open energy resources in northern Maine. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
Secretary of State Shenna Bellows says a preliminary Supreme Court ruling on mail-in balloting will not affect voting in Maine. But as Kevin Miller reports, the legal fight continues over President Trump's efforts to change voting processes ahead of the November elections.
Maine was one of 23 states that challenged an executive order signed by President Trump in March that, among other things, would give the U.S. Postal Service control over who receives mail-in ballots. On Monday, the Supreme Court's conservative majority said a lower court erred when it prevented the administration from moving forward with the plans while the broader case is litigated. But Bellows, a Democrat, said the Supreme Court hasn't decided the merits of the overall case. And Bellows says there is a second nationwide injunction in place.
It's important to realize that nothing has changed when it comes to the fundamental voting rights of every American in this country. You can still vote by mail, even though Trump and the U.S. Postal Service seem to be doing their best to try to stop that. They have not yet been successful.
Maine is involved in multiple other lawsuits challenging the Trump administration on voting process and federal access to voter data. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement arrested 75 people in Maine in June, according to the Deportation Data Project, a group of researchers and lawyers. As Ari Snyder reports, it's the highest monthly total since the federal enforcement surge in January.
After January, ICE averaged one arrest every day for several months, roughly in line with last year. But since May, that daily average has doubled to two arrests per day. Lisa Paricio with the Portland-based Immigrant Legal Advocacy Project says ICE seems to be shifting its tactics.
They're really stalking people. You know, we are seeing so many arrests of people near their homes. So many people report to us that they were heading out to work, they were heading out to a necessary medical appointment when ICE arrested them.
Many of those people, she says, are asylum seekers who entered the country on a visa. Since May, three-quarters of those arrested by ICE in Maine had no criminal record. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
Portland police are investigating a fatal hit-and-run on Outer Forest Avenue last night. Police say they received reports that a pedestrian had been struck by a vehicle and found a 57-year-old woman who had died. Witnesses told police the woman was crossing the street when she was struck by a dark-colored pickup truck traveling inbound on Forest Avenue. The identity of the woman is being withheld pending notification of her family. According to the State Department of Transportation, there have been 26 pedestrian crashes in Portland this year, and this is the second fatality. The families of three people who died and two who were injured after their pontoon boat capsized on Flagstaff Lake last year are suing the manufacturer and a local boatyard. The wrongful death lawsuit alleges that Bombardier knew that its Sea-Doo Switch pontoon had design problems that made it prone to capsizing, and it even issued a recall. The lawsuit also alleges that Richardson's boatyard performed recall repairs that did not correct underlying problems before selling the pontoon. The incident happened over Labor Day weekend last year after a group of vacationers from New York took the recently purchased pontoon boat for a ride. It allegedly started to nosedive and take on water, then flipped, trapping three adults underneath. Two died at the scene and another died later at a hospital. Two other adults suffered injuries and severe emotional distress, according to the lawsuit. The Portland City Council last night repealed a decades-old zoning rule that limits how many businesses can hold entertainment licenses downtown. The rule previously placed a 100-foot buffer between businesses with entertainment licenses. It was intended to limit noise and occasional fights as bars let out for the night in downtown Portland. But recently, some Portland businesses said the zoning rules were hindering their ability to hire musicians and host events. Councilors voted unanimously to eliminate the 100-foot buffer. The changes go into effect immediately. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, sharks and whales in Maine. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.